Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I just want to thank you for prayer for what I was going through presently. Let me make this study and sharing this information that I believe is really important. I know Felix mentioned doom and gloom, and it could be that way, except that now that we have full faith in Yah, dealing with being wise, being prepared, and being watchful, I think it's a very important factor that we should have this information at hand. And so also at the end, I'll introduce and pull some more information on Scripture. All right? So right now, my whole thing that I want to talk about that I believe is important right now is the vaccine and the mark of the beast. And there are important factors that I think a lot of people ought to know. And there have been many claims made in recent months about the vaccine. Okay, one of these claims is that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Supporters of these claims believe that the vaccine is a pathway to the government control. I agree that the vaccine is a social control tactic that is conditioning people to accept the mark of the beast, that is also dealing with nanoparticles. Now keep that in mind. I mentioned nanoparticles like nanobots that can be regulated by 5G. Now, I know that sounds a little unusual. You might have a hard time understanding that because a lot of people would love a 5G phone to accept in doing so that they could be a major problem of dealing with this stuff if you don't have the idea what the setup could be. Once you know how it works on the human body, you'll be thinking about this. And I believe that everybody should take this into consideration, take some notes, and do some research on it. Now, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. That's all I feel. It's not a mark of the beast. It's a concept conditioning you for it, right? Based on taking the vaccine to other types of social conditioning that have come up during the pandemic, which we're going through, which I believe is a setup, like staying 6 feet apart, hand washing, wearing a mask, and using plastic glass dividers. It's how to get you to move forward to the vaccine. That's your main objective, is how to get you, I would say, programmed into that direction. Now, some claim that the vaccine is a microchip that the government wants to install in the population, making a reference to Revelation, saying that the mark is placed on people who serves and worship the beast, that the technology like microchips are to be expedited by government, all right? They believe these are both evil establishment, the second beast set up by the evil one to the public that have no idea what is really happening. Okay, so it's really pushed upon the government, which is the second beast, to push it upon you all. Now, let's start with that the mark of the beast is. Like, you know, the mark of the beast is what? It is a seal for the followers of the anti-Messiah and the false prophet, who also serves the anti-Messiah. The false prophet, who is known as the second beast, is the one who encourages people to take the mark, supported by positive news from the public programs encouraging you all to take the vaccine. And you'll get a lot of that news programs and a lot of people around you would think it's positive. I mean, I've seen a lot of positive stuff. But let me go a little further on this and with more information. Now, I read Revelation 13, verse 15 through 18, indicating the mark of the beast is that the central passage of this scripture that addresses the mark of the beast. It says, second beast was given power to give an opportunity to the images of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refuse to worship them, the image, to be killed. It also forces all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand, on their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. The number is, 666. So basically, you might not be able to buy or sell without taking the vaccine, okay? Which is kind of like your enemy. Understand what he's trying to do, okay? So there might be a point that if you don't take the vaccine, you probably can't do anything in our society, whether it's going to a restaurant or any of the events. That could be a major problem. Now, while Revelation 13 is the main passage that mentions the mark of the beast, there are other references throughout the Revelation. It can be found also in Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, chapter 15, verse 2, chapter 16, verse 2, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I just want to put that there so you can just review that. It's all based on the mark of the beast and how it's relating to this issue that I'm talking about. In addition to the recent vaccine being released and breakthrough in the medical implant chip and the RFID system, which is the microchip tracking and identification technology that have interest in the mark of the beast, while it may make sense to draw connection with the passage that the vaccination and all the other medical implants, could it be the mark of the beast? We know that this, because it is something only given to those who worship the anti-Messiah, okay, and to people that have no clue that the public system is manipulated by the evil one, getting you all to to be vaccinated with a smile. Just think about it. You're lining up to get vaccinated with a smile, which is, to me, I bring up the old days in Nazi Germany and Auschwitz where you're lining up getting something. So my point is that this is something to look into. Now, I say these things, and in the old days, vaccines were different than today. That's why the programming is you're walking on that line with a smile, like it's what's good for you. Now, it is important to understand that the meaning of the number 666, the number is a reference to the anti-Messiah. While some have associated the number with a date, we are told in Revelation that the number references a person. Now, in the last days, a major deception could be placed upon us that Yahushua warned us, followers, that there could be false prophets who would arise and masquerade pretending to be the Savior of the world. Yahushua says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. So my point is, that's right out of Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 through 5. Okay, the false prophet mentioned in Revelation is the second beast. All right, just to have that out there, that the Messiah is, has gave us warning. Now, right before the death of Yahushua, he preached about profound events that would happen at the end of the age before his second coming. He said that these false prophets could not be easy to be recognized or identified. Now, in fact, they are so carefully planned and carried out that even the believers of Elohim's chosen ones could be deceived. That's how good they are. Now, one of the only way to be able to recognize these false prophets is to be able to keep your complete focus and faith in Yahushua. Okay? Let me repeat that. Focus and true faith unusual. That's the key issue here. We are living in fearful time. But let me say this again, fearful time, but I'm going to go further. There will be less fear if we have this good feeling of faith in Yahushua. So that it may sense that people would question the government and the vaccine. Also, the more knowledge you have on this issue, the less fear, all right, you will receive. Many people find these theories to be baseless. But there are others who will refuse the vaccine because of the controversy communication that are shared online that they have researched within some of the congregation and others that have indicated this issue. Some of these so-called theories may sound outlandish to you, all right? But many have gone viral and pointed out to real concern and distress of those in the government and science, which could be the enemy behind this whole situation that we're in. Okay, so I'm saying it's how you feel that. Were you born, your mind was set from the day you were born to feel that way, or is it in your DNA? I always question that. But the key thing here is be wise, be prepared, and be a watchman. Always check that out. Research it before making a decision. We must put our fear to the side and trust in the full faith in Yahweh, Yahweh, all right, which He is here to guide us and help us. If we choose not to get the vaccine because we have free will and in doing so, right, there is nothing wrong by doing your research on the issue whether the vaccine is beneficial to Yah's temple. Yah has given us His temple, or not by making an informative decision to be wise, be prepared, and be a watchman on all these issues at hand, and make sure we are thorough in how we're going to act upon it, and not listen to demonic leaders in our government and others, okay, based on the situation at hand, because they are saying these things that are pretty much consistent, and very few are going against it. I don't want to mention any names. There's a lot of things I can't say. But if you want to email me, I can give you all the names. It's like a plague or a disaster event that we are going through, which is the ingredients from the vaccine. See? It's what's in the vaccine. That's the research we all have to do. Or the environment of the beast is being spread by all who have the mark of the beast, which is the plague and the ingredients, okay, in the mark of the beast. If they took it up the nose or injected it in their arm or their breath, then they are super spreaders or shedding the element to others. I just want to repeat that, is shedding the elements to others. It's going to be a very important factor to know how to go against these items that's there. A lot of people had witnessed individuals receiving the vaccine having major problems, okay, dealing with the outcome by being that as it may be the employed workers, that the employed workers giving the vaccine to the public, having no idea that they are giving the vaccine of death. Okay, now I said that very profoundly, but like I say, check it out, see if it is the vaccine of death based on the ingredients in it. All right, thousands of individuals have come forward with their stories, and none of them took the injection, but were exposed for someone who did take the injection, again, shedding it to one another. It seems like they are after women and men's fertility, which is their objective of depopulation. That's another issue at hand. how they're portraying this. This is just the beginning of the problem that are coming to those infected with the genetically engineered bioweapon. Now, let me say that again. Bioweapon, keep that in mind, that the vaccine was engineered as a setup, all right? I want to repeat that. It was a setup to public that can be easily spread like the flu and others as an issue for the public to take the virus. Okay, now, the plague of the beast was engineered to destroy the human mind and the body. Now, there are many individuals showing magnetic sticking to those who took the vaccine. They are using the super magnetic nanoparticles, okay, as one of the ingredients on the delivery system, okay? There's a lot of metal in there that should not be in your body that help the nano drugs to go into the brain to be fully controlled by using technology to communicate with the cell tower of what? 5G. Now, I said that before. 5G will be used as this technology together with the nano situation and a lot of these ingredients to do some controlling, okay? To track, trace, and monitor individuals with these items in the body. Now, there's an organization. I'm not going to mention the organization. It starts with a W, right? And this technology is to pretty much, again, lower the population. All right, that's their objective. All right, and we have to really understand how all this works in order for us all to overcome this demonic situation they want us to, which this is a situation, demonic situation, right? They want us to be like, what? I mentioned zombie slaves. We are slaves in our present day right now. We are slaves. So I'm just saying basically we have to do this to, I say zombie only because it's a controlling factor. And I've said this in 2017, and they are now in certain public information are bringing that term up, and it's coming up. So I just want to say that the word. Okay, so in conclusion, all right, all I can say is that Eve did take the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and bad, together with Adam, disobeying Yah's word, all right? And as of the New Testament, Revelation 22, verse 2, the tree of life is the tree of knowledge, which is right here. We would be living in the concept, like the environment of Shamayim, love and peace. If she didn't pick that fruit, we'd be doing really well, but she did, okay? The fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and bad. So now, based on that, we have the free will dealing with the present situation of good and bad to show Yah on our mission of life. Are we worthy and justified being a bride? All right? Based on our action dealing with this demonic silver, dealing with this demonic situation of a silent war, okay? The silent war environment is where we are being programmed by the government, TV news, politicians, churches, phone information, friends, family, work associates, neighbors, etc. Okay, it's our environment. We're being programmed. How do we handle the darkness of our environment righteously, also dealing and consuming any pharmacy items from the demonic pharmaceutical companies into Yah's temple? That's something we have to think about. We would never eat swine or anything. Why would we take this stuff? This stuff is not good for you. Okay, it's demonic. Okay, so I said again, why would we do this? I just want you to know that there is no difference when the snake, the reptile, the reptilian, that dealt with the Eve, the one that Eve that picked the fruit from the tree of knowledge, that disobey Yah, versus the second beast that wants you to take the vaccine. There's no difference, okay? This is something we have to handle properly, righteously, and the best we can to handle this. I just want to know, how would people handle it if a lot of people are dying from the vaccine, if that's the situation, based on the evil one's objective of lowering the population? Now, I am going to say this, I want to say this in a very sensitive way, where if I'm truly wrong on this, I will apologize big time. But if I'm correct, then what say you? How do you handle this? Okay? How would you all handle it? This is a major, major concern of mine. All right? So I pray that I'm wrong. Like I say, you don't have to take my word for it. I did my research. Do your research on these issues, and if you have any questions, please email me, and you can speak to me, and I'd be more than happy to go over it, because it's an issue that the evil one is playing upon us all. All right? So let me, right now, because of time factor, now, let me introduce Paul, reading scriptures that's going to be relating to this issue by government law and everything else, and we'll see how it's going to work. Paul, go ahead.
Shalom. Thanks, Willard, for that, for sharing that information. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just to emphasize what Will is talking about, the biggest thing that I got out of this, be wise, be prepared, be a watchman. Be wise, be prepared, be a watchman. The day of blindly trusting was never a good idea, but especially now, just to blindly trust the leadership that's out there right now. I think that this is the time that we should be devouring the word prayerfully, reading it, and just really seeking Yah's voice to see where he would have us to go, what choices we should make. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says that we should not be ignorant to Satan's schemes or his thoughts. Other scripture I wanted to read, too, was Proverbs 14:12, where it says, let's see here. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So we need to keep our eyes focused on Yeshua. Then we could also look at Acts 5:29, where it says, and Kepha, or Peter, and Peter and the other emissaries answering said, we have to obey Elohim rather than man. So are we obeying man's laws, or are we obeying Yeshua's laws? The other scripture I wanted to read was Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves servants for obedience, you are servants of the one whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? I don't know. My question I ask myself, the authority that I'm under, are they righteous? Do they honor life? That's a question everybody's got to ask themselves. I know my answer, and a lot of times I don't think I'm under the authority of righteousness. 1 Peter 5:8, I wanted to read. It says, be sober, watch, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So those scriptures, I do what I can, the best I can, to be obedient to them, along with the other things that Yah would have me to be obedient to. And as Willard was saying, do your research. Satan is going around like a roaring lion looking to devour us. And he has schemes that we need to be wise to. So having said all of that, thanks and allowing for me to speak about that. Shalom Shabbat.
Thank you, Paul. That was great. If anybody have any questions on this issue, please have no problem email me or ask me any which way. And I can send you a lot of videos on this issue to do more research on your own. And all I could say is that take into consideration the detailed factor of what's really happening to a society, and just think about it. All right, and pray about it, think about it, and do the mission. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You enjoyed it.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. This is Brother Richard again, and we're continuing with all of your pleasure and permission to go into and break down a section of the Apostolic Constitutions that happens to do with what we should meditate on when we fellowship together and come together on Shabbat, specifically on the Sabbath. We had gone over the different things that were represented by the sun, the moon, the light, and what these were parables of through Scripture. And then we're continuing. Father willing, we will get through a few different points today, but I wanted to cover, if I can find it real quick, here we go. I wanted to read it again, just so it's fresh in your mind, and then cover what we have to do. Today's topic will be what the sand of the sea represents, which we've already read a few references, so I'm not going to go over them again. The stars of the Shamayim, which we've also covered a little bit of, and then specifically what the sea represents. So right here, the section that we are on in the Apostolic Constitutions was from Book 7. It starts on Section 2, Chapter 30. But the section that we're covering is on 34. And I'm going to start a few sentences in, just so we can be fresh in our minds with the subject that we were talking about. It says, "For by your power, Yahuwah, the world is beautified. The Shamayim is fixed as an arch over us and is rendered illustrious with stars for our comfort in the darkness. The light also and the sun were begotten for days and the production of fruit. The moon for the diversity of seasons by its increase and diminutions. And one was called night, and the other day. And the firmament was exhibited in the midst of the waters, and you commanded the waters to be gathered together, and the dry land to appear. But as for the sea itself, who can possibly describe it, which comes with fury from the ocean, yet runs back again, being stopped by the sand at your command? For you have said, thereby shall her waves be broken. You have also made it capable of supporting little and great creatures, and made it navigable for ships. Then did the earth become green, and was planted with all sorts of flowers, and a variety of several trees, the shining luminaries, the nourishers of those plants, preserve their unchangeable course, and in nothing depart from your command. But where you bid them, there do they rise and set for signs of the seasons and of the years, making a constant return of the work of men." And then we've been on that section for a little while, covering the different topics that we'd already mentioned. But what I would like to do here is cover what we just talked about. I want to give you the common scripture verses that are in regard to these, but we're not going to read them because we've covered most of that already. So this should be familiar. And then there's a section I'd like to read to you that I just had the pleasure of finding that happens to talk about how the sea represents the world, or it's an emblem of it, which is also something that is in the Recognitions of Clement. I don't have that reference with me at the moment, but it's something we might cover next time. However, when Scripture is talking about the sand of the sea, the first reference, along with the stars of the Shemayim, were given in as promises to Abraham in Genesis. First, for the stars of the Shemayim, his children would be like that in multitude. That's in Genesis 22:17. And then when it's reiterated that they shall be as the sand by the seashore is in Genesis 32:12. These promises are reiterated because by belief, Sarah believed in them. And then both of these things happened in a literal fashion. You can see in Hebrews 11:12. A few more verses that both confirm and speak about this topic of the literal seed of Abraham being in multitude and in the likeness of the stars above and as the sand by the seashore. For the sand, we have Yeshayahu 10:22, Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah 33:22, which we've already read, Hosea 1:10, and Romans 9:27. For the stars of the Shemayim in multitude, we have the allusions to it in other places where you see the stars in their courses fighting against Sisera in the book of Judges, for example. Or you have our Mashiach's parables about how you are the lights of the world, where he's already spoken of himself as the light of the world, the greater light. He spoke to them as the stars. There's also, if you've ever looked into the way the assembly was set up, it was literally supposed to be fashioned after the luminaries. You had our Mashiach like the sun, the 12 emissaries like the 12 constellations, the moon like the kingdom, the rain, and then the planets or wandering stars were like the 7 ministers or deacons, they call them. 2 of them are not visible to the naked eye. And if you can recall, out of the 7 that were there, Stephen became a martyr and then Nicholas went apostate. But for more references for the stars of the Shemayim, you can find it in Deuteronomy or Devarim 1:10, 10:22, and 28:62. Now, for the sea, representing a reference of the world, we have different allusions of these things where our Mashiach walked on the waters, and all through the Psalms you can see when the waves rise up and they start foaming up their own shame, as it's mentioned in the Epistle of Yehuda, he's the one that steals them, that calms the waves, and he's also the one that walks on it. There happens to be a writing in the Ante-Nicene Patriarchs. I have not had the pleasure of reading the entire thing, but when I was looking up this topic, I happened to come across this section that's rather fitting, and I wanted to share it with you. It's a letter called Theophilus to Autolycus. I apologize if I butchered that, but Theophilus to Autolycus. Or Autolycus, there we go. And he wrote this letter. Actually, he wrote it as a book, and this is part of book 2. Specifically, chapter 14. Chapter 14, and this is titled The World Compared to the Sea. He had just been speaking about the creation before then and how a pagan had spoken of creation and how it really happened. It wasn't from an earthly thing going up or from the Shemayim down. And then he's continuing with that same thing where he's speaking about the herbs and different things that were formed. He says, consider further their variety and diverse beauty and multitude, and how through them resurrection is exhibited for a pattern of the resurrection of all men which is to be. For who that considers it will not marvel that a fig tree is produced from a fig seed, or that very huge trees grow from the other very little seeds? And we say that the world resembles the sea. For as the sea, if it had not the influx and supply of rivers and fountains to nourish it, would long since have been parched by reason of its saltiness, so also the world, if it had not the law of Elohim and the foretellers flowing and welling up sweetness and compassion and righteousness and the doctrine of the set-apart commandments of Elohim, would long ere now have come to ruin by reason of the wickedness and sin which abound in it. And as in the sea there are islands, some of them habitable and well-watered and fruitful, with havens and harbors in which the storm-tossed may find refuge, so Elohim has given to the world which is driven and tempest-tossed and by sins the assemblies, or literally synagogues. We mean the set-apart assemblies in which survive the doctrines of the truth, as in the island harbors of good anchorage, and into these run those who desire to be delivered. Being lovers of the truth and desiring to escape the wrath and judgment of Elohim. And as again, there are other islands, rocky and without water, and barren and infested by wild beasts, and uninhabitable, and serving only to injure navigators and the storm-tossed on which ships are wrecked, and those driven among them perish. So there are doctrines of error, I mean heresies, which destroy those who approach them. For they are not guided by the word of truth, but as pirates, when they have filled their vessels, drive them on the forementioned places, that they may spoil them. So also it happens in the case of those who err from the truth, that they are all totally ruined by their error. This is the next chapter, titled The Fourth Day, or the Fourth Yom. It happens to have a section that's a little iffy, but we'll cover it as we get there. It says, on the fourth day, the luminaries were made, because Elohim, who possesses foreknowledge, knew the follies of the vain philosophers, that they were going to say that the things which grow on the earth are produced from the Shamayim bodies, so as to exclude Elohim. And this is what they do. They think that everything came from stars, but he made it so that the luminaries actually came after. Just to show you that what has been is what will be, and there's nothing new under the sun. You can still see the same thing in science today. But it says, in order, therefore, that the truth might be obvious, the plants and seeds were produced prior to the Shamayim bodies. For what is posterior cannot produce that which is prior. And these contain the pattern and type of a great mystery. For the sun is a type of Elohim, and the moon of man. And as the sun, I want to pause for a moment there. Our Mashiach is equated like the sun, which Psalm 19 is said is like the bridegroom that runs the course set before him, like the steadfast servant, which is Shemesh. It literally means servant as well as the sun, which he came as. So these are concepts that play out in the language and in the truth and in the word and how it actually walked out in reality. It's the truth in every context. But the moon, equated as a man, is what we've just been covering. The rain, the physical rain over the children, was given to the seed of Dawid or David, and he was equated like the moon, as you saw the 14 generations, between 14 generations, between cycles of things happening, first exaltation, and then desolation, and then the coming of our Mashiach again. All of that played out like the lunar cycle and the physical rain on the earth. And he came preaching the Shamayim rain, showing the light of that, like the moon. But it was specifically to Dawid and his children that that was given. And then in the book of Henoch, you can also see it's like the face of a man is referenced there. I never really got the context until I was learning these things here. So, Abba willing, you can see that as well. But to continue on, it says, "And as the sun far surpasses the moon in power and esteem, so far does Elohim surpass man. And as the sun remains ever full, never becoming less, so does Elohim always abide, perfect, being full of all power and comprehension and chokmah or wisdom and immortality and all good. But the moon wanes monthly and in a manner dies, being a type of man. Then it is born again and is crescent for a pattern of the future resurrection. In like manner also, the 3 days which were before the luminaries are types of the Trinity." And this is where it gets a little iffy, because talk of the Trinity, there's some ambiguity when people have their comprehension on this. But if we keep our minds on what's written, that Elohim is one, we'll be all right. And this doesn't contradict that, if we keep in mind that our Abba, the Father, is one and the only true Elohim. Our Mashiach is the one who is like him, that was sent by him to show forth who he is. And the Ruach is the seal of their power that he's given to men that obey him. So it's three separate. They're one in unity and purpose. But the Father has no equal, and there's no one greater. It says, "The 3 days which were before the luminaries are types of the Trinity, of Elohim and his word and his chokmah, which the wisdom of Elohim is equated to his Ruach, both here in the chokmah Shlomo, the wisdom of Solomon, and in the recognitions of Clement. In the Syriac version, it actually has the missing chapters from the Greek and Latin. When they translated that into English, they kept 10 chapters untranslated from book 3. They said it wasn't of the best authority and it was utterly unintelligible, and they didn't translate it. But if you in the Syriac version, it was translated, and it absolutely refutes the idea of three co-equal entities that are separate in one. It gives you the same information that I just said beforehand, and that's why it wasn't translated into English for a long time. Excuse me. But right here, it says, "Wherefore also on the fourth day the lights were made. The disposition of the stars too contain a type of the arrangement and order of the righteous and pious, and of those who keep the law and commandments of Elohim. For the brilliant and bright stars are an imitation of the foretellers, and therefore they remain fixed, not declining nor passing from place to place. And those which hold the second place in brightness are types of the people of the righteous. And those again which change their position and flee from place to place, which also are called planets or wandering stars," which is the literal meaning of planets, "they too are a type of the men who have wandered from Elohim, abandoning his law and commandments." And then if anyone's familiar with the Antichrist or Anti-Mashiach for Dummies videos, it goes into a great amount of detail about how those seven planets or wandering stars are the literal messengers that are mentioned in the book of Revelation that are foretelling the different events. He says the seven messengers are the seven stars before his throne. And they go and show you throughout the series of videos again and again how those different luminaries, being in different positions, as it says plainly in the text, correspond with events that happened in the sky and then things that were happening on the earth at that time. And it's a rather wonderful parallel of the literal truth of how the stars inform man of the things to come. But all the willing, you can see how all these things are starting to tie together, and how he tells pictures, and everything is created in the chokmah or wisdom of Elohim. So thank you for your time, and you all have a wonderful Shabbat.